Who of you like to be in control? Yeah. It's not a good thing to raise your hand for this, but I like to be in control, okay? And who of you realize when you're walking with God, if you want to be in control, it's like we kill the life of God, no? And thinking out John 3 from verse 6, Jesus said this. He said that flesh will give birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And then it says to him, you mustn't be surprised at this. It says, like, everyone must be born again. This is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. And it says, and those who are born again are like born by the Spirit are like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. It's like what it is with God, you know. It's like we thought we were going this way. Oh, okay, we're going this way. And now we're going back that way. And the moment we want to try and put our hand on this thing, it says, let's just control it. It's like it kills the life of God. But the moment that we open our hands and say, okay, Jesus, we're trying to hear what you want to do, and we just want to facilitate the life that you do. It's like the Spirit can flow with us and move. And isn't it amazing? No amens to that. All right. I liked it. But it's like what it is with God. But for anyone like me who likes to be in control, it is a pretty scary place. Man, even thinking that it's not just meeting related, it's life related when you're out there. And so even the things that God convicted us of now that are idols, you're like, all right, the thing is I need to let go of control and trust. Who of you struggle to trust? All right, some hands there. It's not a good thing, okay, again. But it's like struggling to trust and actually trust God and trust the people of God. It's like it forces us to put our hands on it, and it's like God can't flow. So, you know, it's very little amens here, but I think, because it's not lacking here, but it is God. Thank you. Thanks, Wade. We need to bring in the guys from PM to amen this, because it doesn't apply to a joke. Yes, listen. I'm joking. But I want to just quickly, I think, bring back together just the word that was ministered last week. You know, it's like that thing that Moses did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. You guys remember that? And it's like that the house of God must be built like God wants it to be built. It was like we want to be where He is. And actually, we said that the biggest enemy or the biggest idol actually in the house of God is self. It's us. It's we the biggest danger to the house of God when we try and put our hand on this thing. And it's like, and the Bible says in the last days there will be lovers of themselves. And that, man, we don't want to be those who love ourselves, but we're in it for the name and the renown of the Lord our God. He's the desire of our hearts. He's the thing that we're after. We're trying to discover God as we're here together. And are you guys all right? You seem pretty much. Must I tell you a joke before we get going? Was it too serious? I've got a few good jokes. The guys are nervous after my joke on Thursday night. It wasn't even jokes. It was just real life stories that I shared. But the guys are cautious. No jokes. I'm so tempted with everything in me. But anyway, I'll listen. Anyway. I do this morning. I wanna share a word. And actually, I'm thankful that the Lord moved among us like He did this morning, because I actually wanted to preach into this. You know, we've been having a few weeks where I think more and more letting go of the control and asking the Lord, God, would your Spirit come and move among us? And we're seeing bits and pieces, guys. I want to say there are glimpses, but we haven't seen anything yet. All right, there's so much more that God can do among us if His Spirit really comes and there's an outpouring. But we're seeing glimpses, yeah? And you know, one thing again that can be the biggest hurdle for us when we for God to move is when we get in the way and we try and control the scenario, and we try and you know, and so I think this morning it's going to be very different from my previous preachers. I think I'm more going to teach this morning. Okay, I hope so. I'm not a teacher, but I'm going to try and tap into that thing, because I think I want us to, that we can bring understanding in us, because when God comes and move, that we don't get, you know, you read Acts, and so the Holy Spirit is poured out. It says, this is the response that you see. It says, people were confused. It says, what is this? Okay, they were perplexed. Some mocked them because they were the scoffers. And then there were the others that asked, what does this even mean? Yeah. So we think when the Spirit of God comes that we all just go, oh, this is amazing. Okay. Most times it is like, sheesh, what is this? Yeah. And then Peter had to get up and explain to them, this is what was prophesied. And this is what God said. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. It's God. But someone had to explain to them, when God comes, this is often what happens. And it feels like one of those moments for us this morning. You are so welcome to agree with me as I preach, okay? Because otherwise I feel like I don't know if I'm with you guys. But, you know, the house of God that he builds. And so firstly, I'm going to do a rough overview this morning. I want to say that what I'm going to teach here is actually we can spend weeks on it. And then we should actually do like training times in the week for it. And we'll do it. So I'm just going to give a brief overview this morning that hopefully can bring some form of understanding for us as a church as we move forward. But so the church starts and God puts leaders in place. Actually, there were the apostles and the apostles went around and they appointed elders in the different congregations and deacons and leaders in the house of God that weren't all the skilled people, but it was people of character. You know, we see that. So this is brief overviews, okay? Brief overviews and then, or put people in leadership in place. And so in Titus 1, we actually see Paul writing to Titus and he reminds him, he says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put into order what was left unfinished. And appoint elders in every town as I directed to you. You know, there's sometimes, you know, when leadership is in the house of God and apostolic actually comes in, it's like it brings order to the house of God. That it's not out of control. Because if all of us now, you know, just start doing our own thing, because we are all people of God and we're all part of the body. But if you're not connected to the head and this hand just wants to do what he wants to do the whole time, it's actually out of order. And what the apostolic does and what leadership does is it brings all of us into alignment with the head, which is Jesus. All right, that's what the Bible says, and enables the body to function properly. So you know, actually part of what we're doing now as a church is it's sort of like, not sort of, it's like we're putting into order the body of God, but not order as in Kenya plaque. There is the know your place. But it makes space. That's what it does. You know, how many of you have kids? And so we got a little one. We got another one on the way. And how many of you know that they aren't born saved? You know, it's like, man, it's the cutest little thing that we have here. But a few months in, you're like, who taught her this rebellion? Why is in her own eyes? And she's 3 months old. She doesn't know what she's like. Yeah, and we have to apply boundaries. And now she just turned 2. So we constantly, like I'm trying to, that the most word that comes out of my mouth shouldn't be no. But we're trying to teach her the boundaries. Yeah. This is what you can do. You can't do that. And you know what happens is she started walking around the house like a prisoner. Actually, she knows the boundaries that has been assigned to her. And she becomes actually free to be who she wants to be. Is this making sense? And the same in the house of God. Sometimes I think we either stagnate like this, or it becomes disorderly because we don't know what has been assigned to us. And sometimes we just need to come back to the head, to the how does the body work, and it actually enables us. It makes space for all of us to be who God wants us to be. All right, is this making? No, okay. So, but here's the killer, and this is the thing in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul then writes to them, and I think this is part of the word that I released that I felt the Lord was sharing through Willie's tongue and then the interpretation. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says this, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. It says, no, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Guys, I want to say it right now. This is and I hope for the rest of my life, this is the cry of my heart, that your faith will not be like, that was a great preach, that is the answer. That is not where it should lie. we like asking, you know, even this morning, I said to Billy, man, we need to trust God again for prophetic words to come through, for God to speak, that there can be power of God among us, that we can say, surely this is God. Because my eloquent words will run out at a stage. You won't believe it, but it does. Even for this preach, I was saying to the guys on Friday, I'm starting to feel like, man, we just need the power of God with us that He can confirm, because I don't want your faith to rest on my good words or someone else's words. It's like we need to see God. And so there's like a cry for the demonstration of God's power among us. But what do we do when the Spirit does come? And now it is like the wind, and it is not like we know. So what I want to teach on this morning, this is the probably the theme of my preach, is when the church gathers, all right, there are certain elements that we see in a meeting. What happens? There's certain parts that are being played, and the Bible speaks about the gifts of the Spirit that was given to His house. And that's what I want to speak on the gifts this morning. But this, guys, we can get stuck here for weeks and hours just discovering this. So I'm not going to do due diligence to explain each gift properly. But I want to give an overview of the gifts that God has given to His house, which we do desire to function. And I'm so thankful that this wasn't orchestrated, okay? But I'm thankful this morning that God did move among us, that it kind of gives us an opportunity to teach into it and say, okay, well, when God comes, these are some of the things we see, but what is the, how does it play out? All right? Okay, I'm just going to go for it. Yeah. I must say, if we don't adhere to the wisdom of God in the Word, and then to the leadership that God has given in the house of how it should play out, we can actually damage the house of God. And 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes this to them, and may we never hear this for us as a church, okay? But 1 Corinthians 11, 17, he says to them, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. And you're like, guys, it would have been better if you didn't get together. That's what he's saying, okay? It's like the kingdom of God was at a certain level. After you met, it's now lower. It didn't advance. It's like it took a knock. And then he says, because in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And he says, and to some extent, I believe it. He says, I've heard some people telling me, hey, there's some, each one, it's like different strokes for different folks here. Each man for himself in this church. And they're fighting. And Paul says, I've heard that and, you know, I actually believe it. It's like there's not unity here, but I'm not speaking about just the jostling. I'm actually also speaking about our ideas when we come to the house of God of how a meeting should play out. Man, we want to see together. Do you remember that? It's like we want to make it our aim to even see together as where God moves us, that we can all be aligned to the head. So I'm going to jump then to 1 Corinthians 12. And if you've got any questions afterwards, I want to say chat to Vili. I'm just going to give a brief overview here. And if you've never heard this, you might have a lot of questions after this morning. I'm aware of that. And I want to actually ask our comm leaders on Wednesday. We need to look at this again in our communities. And we need to work through these things, you know, and chat about it. Like, because the more we speak about it, the more we see it, the more we actually see God in it. So 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes to them from verse 1, and he says, now about the gift of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, as it says there. What translation do I have there? I think it's NIV. Anyway, it says, I do not want you to be uninformed. And so this is what I kind of want to do with you this morning. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know that God, you know, when God moves, He's given gifts to us. And then verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. It's the Holy Spirit, okay? There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Guys, as I was reading through this, you know, when I was preparing, I just wanted to say, to each one, it is given. To each one. God, when we get saved and you devote your life to God and you say, God, I want to follow you. God says He gives portions of Himself to us. You are not made to be here to warm a seat. All right? We don't need seat warmers. We want you. God has given portions of Himself to each one. He's given the Spirit for the common good. And I want to say this is not for, you know, for me, I might be the mouth at the moment, you know, but it's not so that I can look so good, you know, and you can go home. It's like, wow, wasn't that a great preach, you know? No, man, it is for us. It is, it's for us. It's for the common good. Even the prophetic word that Willie brought this morning, a gift or the tongue, but it was for us. The interpretation that came, the word, even though there was a prophetic word for a couple years, you know, actually, it was our win. That God is busy speaking. It's for the common good in the body that He's given it. But each one of you guys need to know that God has given you a portion of Himself. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and wisdom is this. That man, I think probably I'm carrying a portion of that because of the role that I need to fulfill. And there's bigger and bigger grace actually for the time. And so please hear me when I speak about this. I don't want to sound arrogant. Okay, I'm just like. Be God made me to be. But I'm aware that I'm punching way above my age category. Nah? Okay? I'm carrying more than what a 30-year-old should sometimes, okay? Nah? And I'm aware of that. But there's supernatural grace that, you know, the lucky thing is that I know that it's not me. Okay? It's like, this what I need to do, I cannot do. If I want to try and do it in my own strength, I'm going to mess this up. And it's like, I know that God has given me wisdom for the time that He needs me to do it. I'll tell you a quick story. Yes, how do I tell this without confusing you? There was a time, many years ago, 2020, that's not many years ago, 4 years ago, that I was placed under church discipline for sin in my life, you know. And I left the church, and I came out that I was addicted to sin, got stepped down, and for a year and a half I was under church discipline and just had to, you know, deal with the sin that was in my life. That's going to open a lot of questions. We can chat about it later. All right. Point that I want to make is I left the church, and there was grace on me for a season to do what I needed to do. And it's the only way I can explain it, guys, if you haven't seen this. Suddenly, I remember it was 2019. They called me and said, Ruan is going to go on sabbatical. Can I lead the congregation for the time? I'm 25 years old. And I'm driving in Sunningdale, and as I'm going around the circle, the only way I can explain it was like the grace of or the anointing of God rested on me, and suddenly I could see what we needed to do with the church for the next time. It's the only way I can explain it. It was like supernatural grace that God has imparted through His Spirit, wisdom that for the next while I led the church. Yeah? And then I continued leading it for a long time, and then I got stepped down. And you know what's a scary thing? It was gone. It was gone. I was as blind as a bat. I couldn't see. I tell you, then, you know, went through the discipline. The discipline was lifted, but I wasn't restored to eldership yet. And the Bible says this, you know, Paul writes to Timothy and says, do not neglect the gift which was imparted to you by the laying on of hands. There's a gift that gets imparted when we lay hands on one another, you know. And that wasn't done yet. And I remember Grant saying to me, Hannes, just start functioning as an elder again. But I couldn't. I was blind. The grace to do it wasn't there. And so I remember I said to him, you just tell me what to do and I'll do that. But I can't see. And then, when was she born? 2022. I remember we were at Elders Camp actually. And I mean, I didn't know, but I could sense it's probably coming to the time where, by then I was restored to eldership. But I could sense it's maybe coming to the time where I'm going to lead again. And I remember we at Wellington, at Provence, and Mervis asked me to lead worship. And I was busy setting up worship for the evening. And I tell you, the only way I can explain it is like the presence of God came. It's like a woof, and suddenly I could see again. It sounds superficial, guys. I tell you, it was like in the spirit. It was just like there was grace to see, and I was like I knew God was going to work with us that night. And then the next day, Andrew came to me and he said, "I think it's time for you to lead again." And it's like I know. I could feel there was something that happened, and but it's supernatural wisdom. It's from God. It's God who does it. And you know what was a good thing for me about that season? Is God taught me that it's not me. It's not about the Bible school that I've done, or because of the household that I grew up in, or because I was such a good boy. Okay, in fact, I wasn't. It is the mercy of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it was like imparted. That's what the Bible says. Okay, that was not a long story that I didn't plan to share. If you got any questions, ask me afterwards. But there's wisdom given. And sometimes, you know, it's given to people also that somehow, you know, you come to them for perspective and there's just unnatural wisdom. And, it's God speaking. And that's a gift from the Spirit. And then he says, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. So it's like, sometimes, you know, I don't know, a word of wisdom. I've had this before where sometimes you're ministering to someone and then I actually, as I'm praying for him, sometimes it could be random stuff as well, but it confirms the message. And I remember praying for a guy once and I just felt the Lord tell me, and I had to think of a story. But it's like, I asked him, it was like in the middle of the prayer, I said, did you maybe start learning how to drive a car when you were 11 years old? I don't know the guy. And it's like, yeah, how did you know that? And I said, I mean, it's the weirdest thing, but I felt the Lord tell me that. And the reason I felt him to tell me that is because there's no way for me to know it. But God wants you to know that this is him speaking. Knowledge that I shouldn't have had knowledge about. And God gives it. And that's not a silly example, but sometimes it's like God gives insight into a scenario. It's not something that I've had, but it's so that it confirms the message of God that's being spoken. And it actually enables us to say, wow, this is actually God. Does that make sense? All right. I'm skimming over this. Really, we could stay an hour on each one. All right. But and then to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, again, all of us carry faith. Okay. We need to have faith even to follow God. We want to have faith. But how many have found that sometimes you just get a guy and he's always like, why do you guys doubt, man? Come on. Like, God has given us this thing. Let's go. And you're like, man, we're just trying to work out, are we going to make it, you know? And this guy's like, why don't you doubt? Or when they pray for people, there's faith involved. And it's actually, you get a gift of faith that is so needed in the body that moves us forward, you know? It says, come on, it's like the two spies, you know, that came back and says, guys, we know these giants. We know this stuff. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. But God has spoken. Let's go. Faith given to the house. All right, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, again, I always want to pray for someone when there's someone that's sick and we're contending for healing. But some guys, you know, like a Jonathan Conroth that has been here before, you know, there's just a grace that somehow when he prays, he's got a bigger hit ratio than me. I pray and people die. He prays and they walk, you know. It's like, I'm joking, it's not that bad, okay? But sometimes, like, you feel like, man, I've been praying for years and for years and for years. Yeah. Don't pray for me, okay? It's like, but how many of you found this? Like, you pray for people that you get healed and you ask him, do you feel any change? No, not really. And you know, okay. And we keep praying and we're not neglecting that. You know, the Bible says we do lay hands on one another and we pray. But sometimes you get someone and they've seen. It's like there's been a gift imparted to them to pray for the sick and they just see people getting healed. And often faith and healing runs together because we again, it's not you. It's like we need faith that God is able to do it. And these two gifts go together. And it's for the common good. It's for the church, you know. To another, miraculous powers. Now, miraculous powers is not like, I'm shalabam, okay, you've got something. But sometimes it's like, man, miraculous powers is really, it does include, I think, healing. But it's also to pray for miracles, man. Like, pray, I'm thinking of Uncle Angus, you know, that sometimes you can just pray. People call him, come and pray for rain. We'll be there, but you pray. And then 9 times out of 10, it rains. Yeah. You know, like, how does he do that? No man has the ability to do that. But he's got faith, and there's a gift in him to see the miraculous powers. He's seen God do it before, and sometimes we recognize, whoa, there's a gift of miraculous powers here that somehow God responds when he asks. And again, then God comes with kindness, and it rains, and it blesses the people of God, you know, miracles. Then to another, prophecy. And this is one that we do encourage in the church and really say, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I desire that all of you speak in tongues, but more so that you may prophesy. God says, actually, all of you should function in this to some degree. Now, sometimes you get someone who can prophesy, and it's like, I think God is saying this, and we're hearing, and then you get a prophet who tells you what you had this morning for breakfast, and what, you know, there's different degrees of prophecy as well. But I think the reason God wants us to all desire this gift is because all of you should hear the voice of God. You should at least ask and try and hear what is God doing. Guys, we are not in the Old Testament anymore where you come and sit and I'll tell you what the Lord says for you. We're not there. God said, my sheep will hear my voice and they'll follow it. For all of you, there should, you know, there is something for us coming together and there's instruction and a going and a teaching. It is still it. But it's not in the Old Testament like the people had to wait on Moses. Okay, just let us know what God says because we can't go close to him. No, man. That veil has been ripped in two. And God says, now all of you have access to my presence. Come in. And God speaks. And so I want to say for all of us, we should contend for this gift, you know, this like this morning. There's sometimes, like I said to Irina on Friday, like she's got a track record of like being sharper in the prophetic. So sometimes I wouldn't even listen what she says. I'll just give her the mic. Yeah. But before I release something, sometimes Andrew wants to do that with me. And I said, no, please listen to what I want to tell you because I'm unsure. Okay? So it's way what I'm saying here. Because I've got the gift of prophecy, but I'm not that sharp in it always. Yeah, different degrees of it. But I want to encourage you. Guys, all of us should contend to hear the voice of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow it. When last have you heard the voice of God? Even just for yourself. When last did you hear the voice of the Lord? This morning when we stood here and we searched our heart, did God speak to you? You know, it's like suddenly God just puts his finger on the area of your heart and like that thing, you need to deal with that. That's God, you know? And then we're like, okay, now what do I do with it? I've had a time. Wow, look at the time. I don't have time. But there was a time where, you know, last year where I remember God spoke to me and God actually told me to go pray for someone who wasn't in the church, but he was a highly influential businessman in Melkbos. He was a good friend of, we were friends with his kids. But I was scared, man, because this guy was also speaking out against the church and whatever. So I was like, nah, I'm not really keen for that. And 3 weeks later, I remember driving the one and it's like, why has it been so long since I've heard God? I'm reading scripture, but it feels dead. And I wasn't preaching because I was saying to the other guys, you guys preach. I don't hear God. Yeah? And the one day I'm driving and I just asked the question, it's like, what was the last thing that I've heard the Lord tell me? And he told me to go pray for this guy. So phone him. Hey, bro, are you home? And I just want to come see you quickly. Okay? And I went there and I just prayed for him. And we had a time. And it was actually it was a good time. And then afterwards, suddenly, boom, the voice of God was back. Because I actually listened to what he told me as well. We can't nitpick, you know. It's like, oh, I don't like that. I'll try and listen to that thing. No. It's like, listen to what the Lord is saying to us, okay? And then it's like his voice increases. That's what he does. We become sharper to it. Is this helpful? Yeah. Ah, I need water. I'm like mumbling over my finger. All right. And then to another, the distinguishing between spirits. Am I right now? Yeah, the distinguishing between spirits. I think the ESV here says that the gift of discernment. And that is literally the distinguish between spirits. Because you get evil spirits, you get yourself, okay, and you get the Holy Spirit. And sometimes who of you found like, man, I'm praying, but I don't know who's speaking. Is it God, me, or the devil? Have you had that before? All right. Or trying to read in a room like, who is speaking here? Like, what is God saying? You know, it's like, and it's like trying to discern. Who is it that's speaking to us here? It's like, okay, now that's, and it doesn't always mean that it's not, that it's devil if it's not God. Sometimes it's just us in the way, you know, and we interpret in a certain way. But discernment, guys, is so critical for us to even leading the church, is to try and figure out, you know, where's the wind? And we're trying to hear what God wants to do, and we want to stay where he's at. And it's really to discern between our own ideas off and trying to put the accusation of the devil off and trying to hear what is it that God is saying to us. There's a lot more to that. We don't have time. Forgive me. Yes. Yeah. I'll get there. You're right. And all these were, distinguishing between spirits and then to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, guys, I do want to say I would love to go into this, but we don't have the time for it today. But I want you to know that it is a gift that God has given to his house, okay? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, Acts 2, it says, and suddenly they spoke in different tongues. And if you want to read about this so long before we get there, we probably will touch on it soon. 1 Corinthians 14 speaks about the gift of tongues. So just go read it and just inquire, okay? And then we'll. But God gives tongues, and then still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So sometimes, you know, quickly, it says, we pray in tongues. Sometimes I would be praying and I would pray in tongues, but the Bible says you build yourself up. It's like it opens the channel to hear God properly. Just praying tongues. I don't pray with my own wisdom here. I'm just praying to hear God. And then as soon as I catch a vein, I actually pray in my understanding because now God has revealed something and then I contend for it. And then when I run out of prayer, then I pray in tongues and I try and hear what the Lord is saying. But then you get what happened this morning sometimes is there's a public tongue. And then the words is actually now that needs to function as a prophecy and it needs to be interpreted by someone as well. We can't just, Willie can't give a tongue and someone else give a tongue and someone else give a tongue and we all like, you're like, oh, what was that? Yeah. It's like, no, this is a gift that God has given to his house for the common good. And now we wait upon the Lord. Like, who is God speaking to? You know, like, who actually heard that? And I want to say there's been very few times that I've heard interpretation of tongues. I've tried, but most times I'm like on planet somewhere else, okay? And but some people have a gift to just hear when there's tongues being released, all right? I know there's a lot of questions there. We'll do due diligence another time to touch on properly, all right? And then he says, and all these work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each, just as he determines. So God says, guys, the potter doesn't say, or the clay doesn't say to the potter, why did you make me like this? God comes and he distributes portions of himself to the house. And we're like, we want to discover, okay, what is he given to me and what is my role? And because God has determined that. And we can contend for more grace. God, the Bible also says we can grow in grace. But God distributes himself among us. All right. I also want to say, I'm not the full package. And you're not the full package. And as the eldership team, we're not the full package. We're a body. All right? We need one another. Are you guys still all right? I'm not losing us here. I know it's tricky. But let me see what I can, just for time's sake, what I can. So then, if you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, it speaks about the body, that the church, if you've heard that the church is like a body. All right? So it says, guys, like, the church is a body. Some is a hand, some of a foot is a foot. And the eye mustn't say, oh, I want to be an ear rather. And then how would the body see? Or how would the body hear? And we also can't say, oh, we actually don't need the kidney. Okay, you need your kidney. Okay, and it's like, man, God has put this thing together. And it's like, you all should play your part. That's what he says. Like, this is for the common good, you know. That is, and he actually says those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I felt the Lord ask me this question. I want to ask you today, do you feel that if you're not here next week, no one will even miss me? Yeah, like an appendix. Or tonsils. Okay. You know, I just want to say that is one of the biggest lies that the enemy uses for the church. He says, no man, you don't have to be there, they got it covered. Now sometimes if I'm missing a leg, I can get some other prostate leg, you know, to help. But have you seen someone with what now? Sometimes when I miss a leg. Sometimes the body misses a leg. and the body can keep moving, but not as it should. I ran against some Paralympic athletes before, okay? And I won them. I beat them every time, okay? Because it's like, there's something missing there, okay? That's a joke. They're good friends of mine, okay? I'll tell you a funny story. One of my friends, he's T44 class. I don't know what it is, but he's got visual impairment, okay? So I didn't know what his disability was. I just knew he's a Paralympic athlete. And then one day, it was at national champs, actually. I'm sitting next to him and ask him, oh, bro, can you just put the number on my back quickly? He says, no, you don't want me to do that. And I heard his coach say, "Ek gaan vir hom vol gehad te steek." I was like, all right, anyone else that can help me? Okay. So we used to compete against these guys, but it was an unfair advantage, okay? And even though they might have been like Olympic or Paralympic athletes, I would still beat them because there's a disability. And the same in the church. Please hear me, I'm not being like discriminating when I speak about that. They're good friends of mine, okay? But there's a disadvantage that comes to the body when every part is not there. And guys, I want to say, don't believe the lie of the enemy that it's okay for you to just move out and nobody will even know. Like, God has placed you with us to fulfill a role that maybe might not be the one celebrated here in the front, but the Bible actually says it is indispensable. The presentable parts don't need special treatment, but all the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. You know, this is in the house of God. All right, I'm going to scan through the air. So then, you know, the reason why I'm speaking about this today, this is if you wonder why I'm speaking about it. So, you know, we pray that God would move among us like a mighty rushing wind. But, the Bible still says that there's still order in the house of God when it starts happening. And so, I want to say this is pencil line. There's many times where revival breaks out and there was absolute chaos, but it was God. So we're not bound to this, all right? But the Bible, that Paul writes to them here and says, guys, when you do come together, God has put certain things in place to make sure that this thing runs and that the body can properly be built up. So you would have seen this morning when someone comes with a word, they come and they submit it to Vili, who was leading the meeting. And there's some of the elders trying to listen with, trying to discern what is the Lord saying, you know. We're not having some fat chat about surfing here in the front. We're trying to hear what is it that God is saying, and we're weighing the words, you know. And we don't encourage someone just from the back, just start giving a prophetic word here and someone there, you know. No, man. It's like because 1 Corinthians 13 then goes on to say, from verse 9, it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So you don't see the full picture. I don't see the full picture. So we bring it and we submit it and we say, I think this is what the Lord is saying. And now we try and discern. And we try and weigh. Is this for you? Is it for the church? Is it the devil? Is it who's speaking here? And we try and weigh. And then when there's a witness, Acts 17, I think there's this portion where they try to make a decision in the church. And Paul and them said, it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit that this was God. Guys, that is what we're trying to do every day, every time we come together. They said, it seemed good to us that we think this is God. Where's that brother of ours that sang this morning? I keep seeing you now. Yeah. All right, Prince. So Prince comes this morning and he says, I've got a prophetic word and a song. And I was like, I think God might be on this. You know, who have you felt suddenly that was God? Yeah. And so now God's speaking to his house, man. And we need to facilitate. And that actually opened the door for what's coming next. And we weigh, is God speaking here? So the reason we're giving this to you guys is actually to help you understand the boundaries. All right. And to encourage you, guys, there's space. There's space. If you miss it, we can just say, hey, maybe I think it's not for today. Or maybe God is speaking to you. But it doesn't make you a false prophet. All right? You just heard wrong. But we actually want to draw. Play your part. Play your part. That's what we're trying to encourage here. All right? But then he says in 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 12, he says, so it is with you. Since you're eager for the gifts of the Spirit, which we are eager. It says, try to excel in those that build up the church. Guys, these gifts that God is giving, it's to build the church. It's to strengthen us. It's to bring us into alignment with God. It's to build us together. All right? And then he says, from verse 26, and the heading is actually good order in worship. All right? This is what the Bible speaks about. So then he says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you, all right, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. It says everything must be done so that the church will be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, and then it says two or three at the most, okay, should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should be kept quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Quite interesting. It says that, and I mean, we don't all know loudly pray out in tongues and there's no interpretation. It's like you pray, you can pray between you and God, but if it's a tongue that needs to be released, there's order. All right. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what was said. That's what we're weighing here this morning. See, we're weighing the word that's being brought. And who sets the direction of the church? The elders. You know, so we weigh what the instruction is, what's given, and before we release it to the house of God. And if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. This is quite interesting. I'm not going to dive into all of this. But it's actually the reason why Paul was doing this quickly is because the Corinthian church was just getting together and there was just chaos. All right, just everyone speaking in tongues. Everyone saying, hey, I do got a prophecy. and while this, someone's trying to lead the meeting and everyone's praying for one another and like doing all sorts of stuff. And there's just no order. And so it's actually bringing back, calibrating the church, you know. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all congregation of the Lord's people. Now, I do want to add there. There's a, and I, guys, I'm going to land soon. But there's a story of Andrew Murray. and when the revival broke out in Worcester. And it says the adults were praying in the main hall, and they heard from the youth hall. It was like this noise coming from the youth hall. And there was a young colored girl who got overcome by the Holy Spirit, and she just started praying out, and suddenly God filled that place, all right? And Andrew Murray hears it, and he walks across to the place, and it's just chaos, all right? And now he's strong in this thing. God is a God of order. So he walks in there, and he starts shouting, "People, be quiet." But he says the louder he shouted, the more the people shouted. And he's pulling all the cords that he can. He says, "People, I'm your minister. God is a God of order. Be quiet." And then someone else came to him who was part of the Welsh revival. And they said, "I just want to tell you, this is what is happening here. I've seen it in Wales. This is God." And he says, "Discern what is happening here, rather." And then the revival broke out in South Africa, out of that place. So as much as, so the reason I highlight that is like, because we are not bound to this thing either, that God is a God of order, not disorder, because sometimes that is our safe place because we like the control. I just want to say most times when God starts moving and we let him flow, it is like, okay, here we go, okay, it's like, and so there's certain boundaries for us, but God can do whatever he wants to. He's not bound by our ideas and our wisdom and our intellect. Okay, so does that make sense? All right. So why? And please hear me. I didn't do good due diligence to preach into this morning. We can take weeks on this, and we might get there. But I wanted to provoke you actually this morning that, again, you're not here just to come in at 9:05, get on a seat, listen to a good word, have some worship, and go home. Guys, we are a body that is on a mission. And we need each one to play its part. This, if we think back about last week, it's the way of God. This is his house. This is how he likes it to be built. So all of us should actually ask, well, what do I have to bring? And I even said to the elders on Tuesday, guys, I don't see the full picture. I need you to bring what you have. Because I don't trust myself, actually. And that's why it's safe, okay? I'm not seeing the full picture. I need all of you to bring your parts. I said, ladies, some of you are sharp in the prophetic. I need you to let me know what God is saying. Because I want to do what God wants us to do. And I might be the mouth in the end that gives the direction. But all of us are required to go where he wants us. I want to provoke you. God has given you spirit. And he's given portions of himself, gifts to you. Some of it needs to be unlocked still. Some of it needs to be developed. But he wants each part to play its part. And the purpose for this, and this is, I'm going to land with this. Matthew 28:19, you know, is Jesus saying to them, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Guys, we are not supposed to just have good meetings here. It is like we are supposed to go to nations. And make disciples. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Guys, the point of us being here together is that God birthed something in us so that we can go. We can go and make disciples of all nations. All right? And then he says, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them, but not just teaching them. I'm not here just to teach you. It says teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded us to do. Guys, even this, what are we doing here? Is I'm provoking you. I want to teach you to obey God. I want to teach you to follow God. I want to teach you to risk with God. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus said. He's with us. But the point is to form us from a fat body sitting watching the TV to an active body that can run and go and make disciples. All right? Andrew once said this, some bodies look like if the guys reach too quickly for the TV remote, he's going to have a heart attack. And some guys, if you look at Coral, can look like he can run just for the rest of his life, you know. And no loss of that. Anyway. Yeah, be scared. It's the same with churches, man. Sometimes you get fat, lazy bodies that doesn't do what God wants them to do. And sometimes you get strong churches that are on a mission. I want us to be a church that are available for God to use. Amen. We knew all of us. And then Ephesians, last thing. So that Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, okay, he's given these gifts to equip the people for works of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. all right, that we can be built up. The body, this body must be strengthened until we all reach unity in the faith. How many of you know we're not there? We haven't reached unity in the faith yet, all right? And in the knowledge of the Son of God, you haven't seen the fullness of God yet. You know, part of what happened here this morning is we see Jesus better. That's what's happening, all right? And become mature. Guys, we need to be those who grow from infants needing milk to mature Christians who can process the Word of God and can run, you know, that has understanding for these things. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the aim. You know, even for 12, our aim is to grow into maturity.